This is Braun Strowman, the monster among men, and you're listening to the Pop Culture Podcast with your host, Rob!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back here on the Bob Culture Podcast. Special co-host, of course, with me. They don't want none, Chris Nunes. Welcome, Chris. How are you, bro?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm stoked, man. And I've been stoked for this one for a while. Someone I've had my eye on the indie scene for a while. Just saw him at Evolve a few weeks back. It was a nice surprise to see him back in action. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen him at PBW, Evolve Wrestling, Standalone Wrestling, CZW, and even Impact Wrestling. Guys, please welcome to the show a former multiple-time PPW heavyweight champion, not to mention one of my personal favorites. Ladies and gentlemen, back and better than ever, the Green Machine, Mr. Mike Orlando. Mike, thanks for a few minutes. How are you, bro?
I'm doing great. That intro was awesome, man. Thank you for that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no. We take care of you here on the Bob Culture Podcast, man. But, dude, we know you're a busy man. Thanks so much for coming on.
No, of course. It's great to be here, man. I was looking forward to it for a while. Our schedules were always backed up, and I always stink with Twitter. So finally, once we got off Twitter, it was a lot easier to make it happen.
So I'm glad to be here. You're the man. And honestly, you know, I remember we were supposed to meet up with you at Boardwalk Beatdown. Obviously, you know, there was an injury. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now, you're back and better than ever. Real quick, how you feeling? How's everything?
I feel great, thank you. It's been a long road, but finally I feel like it's where I need it to be, and I feel physically better than I ever have, and looking forward to everything that's happening right now. So things are great. I'm feeling great.
Awesome, man. Yeah, and you look back and better than ever. I saw you evolve a few weeks ago, man. You didn't miss a beat, man. It was great to see you in fantastic shape, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. It was awesome to be there, especially.
Yeah. It was great. So real quick with everyone I have on the show, you know, I always like to talk about that origin story. Did a meteor hit the earth and the Green Machine was born? Were you a wrestling fan all your life? How did you get into the business?
I was a wrestling fan my entire life. I've never watched any other thing, you know, no sports really at all. And it's funny because I only played football to get in shape and hopefully make a career out of it so I can go to school and, you know, do the whole pro wrestling thing and get an education at the same time. And nice. So what I did was I played college football and kind of went from being a fat kid that just wanted to be a wrestler to being the school's wannabe wrestler that played football to actually being a wrestler. And that was due to my coach kind of finding a wrestling school that was far away, especially it was OTW at the time in South Jersey. And basically he had made me do 2-a-days with football and wrestling and decide which one I wanted to do.
So
it was all uphill from there, to say the least. And I balanced out a football career and an NCAA career with all that, and then a pro wrestling career at the same time. But I didn't get to take it as seriously as I should have until shortly after college ended, and I kind of put the NFL behind me. I had a couple tryouts for the NFL and was doing some stuff with practice squads, and it was pretty cool. And there's a long story behind that, but I don't even talk about it too much. It was just a great experience. But kind of moved on from that, and I focused on wrestling, and I've always been a Green Machine, to say the least. It's funny because I wore green all the time in college, just so everybody knew who I was, because I had my own little persona as I played football. So it's something I carried over into wrestling and just evolved it over time into exactly what I wanted to make it.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Green Machine. You know, like you have this charisma about you. You know, they always say, I don't know what it is, but you have it, man. You know, when you come out, the grown men and women are chanting for you. The little kids go nuts for you. You have it. You know, it's that essence about you, that aura. I personally love the green. My drum set is wrapped in what I call a kryptonite green. So I instantly took you right away, man. It's a great.
That's awesome, man.
It's really, really, really rad, man. But, you know, just you just have that essence about you. And I feel like there's really big things ahead for you for sure.
Thank you, man. It's much appreciated. And it's awesome to get all those compliments. And it's amazing to hear, because we don't hear it enough. So, when we get good feedback about all that, it's tells me I'm on the right track for everything, you know, that I'm doing. And I appreciate it. It's been a long I guess, guess and check process to get that all figured out as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, man, Mike, Chris here. Just wanted to know, what were your, who were some of your influences growing up, you know, favorite wrestlers and any favorite matches that you have?
Favorite wrestlers are probably, the given would be obvious with me, is Bret Hart.
Oh, my God, that's my favorite childhood. That's my childhood right there.
I stole a lot of Bret Hart's style, and I guess from the glasses to the leather jackets to little things that I've always loved about Bret Hart as a kid.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's an innovation style from what he did, and I love everything he did. But I feel there was always something about Bret that, not that was missing, but just there was all there, but there still was something extra that could have been done. I want to be like that extra.
I got
that could have been done, you know, and kind of put all my favorites together, followed by, like, you know, Chris Jericho, somebody I think is amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Big Chris Jericho fan, Ultimate Warrior, funny as that is.
I love Ultimate Styles. Warrior.
yeah, charisma, 1,000%. Not even based off of in-ring stuff, but just the way as a kid he got everybody to, you know, buy into anything he said, which made no sense, but everybody bought into it, you know? So I feel like that matters when it comes to things like that. But as far as favorite matches, there's so many to name, but probably one of the ones off the top of my head that goes right to my mind is Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite. 19, good choice.
Yeah.
That was like when I started watching wrestling totally different, if that, you know, makes sense. I kind of watched that match back and was like, whoa. This was a lot more than just, you know, a wrestling match, and that's where I started watching and kind of, instead of being such a fan, I kind of developed this whole idea of what I thought wrestling should be. So when I kind of, I guess, got into wrestling, I knew exactly what I wanted to pull off. I just didn't know how to do it yet.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, perfect timing for the interview. You know, today they announced that the Hart Foundation, we're talking about Bret Hart, obviously.
Well-deserved.
Getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, in less than 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow, so that's crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah. So awesome. So, they're such a great tag team, honestly.
Mesh so well together. Totally. With Bret with the technical and the anvil with the power game, and then Jimmy Hart, 100%. You know, with the megaphone, you couldn't go wrong.
Oh yeah, classic. Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you. You know, we were talking about how you're over kind of with the younger kids and the big kids like us over here. you seem to have like this really special connection with the kids, like even kids who haven't seen you before, and you come out for the first time and they're chanting Green Machine. There's something about you that captivates them. And then, you know, we see on social media, you seem to have a great relationship with some of these fans, some of these kids, some of these parents calling you just a great role model. What does that mean to you?
It's everything to me. That's exactly why I wanted to do this as I got older, because I didn't watch any other sports, so wrestling was all I knew as a kid, and it got me through so much, you know, emotionally. And now it's popular, and wrestling is cool and everything, but when I was a kid, wrestling wasn't a cool thing or whatever, and sometimes it was, not all the time. So it kind of was never something that I was able to turn and I guess get comfort from other than when it was on. So now I look at like what we have, you know, power wise is social media and all these connections where we didn't have a chance to like go on Facebook Messenger just like this and call somebody. Like, you know, you can go to these like pages and call some of these wrestlers directly to their phone, like, or write messages that go right to them. And that's something we never had the ability to do. And I feel like that's such an important aspect to, I guess, things changing. So the more and more you take advantage of these situations, we're in a different type of world too. And I feel kids need role models when, you know, all you turn the TV is see the negative news and billion-dollar contracts for baseball players just to go, you know, play baseball, which I have no problem for. You know, those guys work really, really hard and everything, but it kind of depicts a world where it's a little far-fetched and impossible. And I kind of want to make like that connection where, like, you know, you could be kind of normal, a normal guy, and kind of get everybody to buy in and guess dream together, because, you know, it's not hard to accomplish a dream. It's hard to continue a dream. It's, you know, you can kind of get to anything. It's hard to stay with what you're doing. So to kind of be with the kids, it's like they're what is going to grow up and continue this business in some sort of fashion. So if you're not close to them, you're not really paying back to what you're, I guess, preaching. So, you know, to hear that things back, I was once one of those kids that kind of needed the wrestlers and would write the letters and do all that. So I'm glad I can give back in my own way.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And really well said, man. That's like one of my favorite things about the business, for sure. But talking about some of my other stuff that I love in the business, kind of the other end of the spectrum here. My first encounter with you or seeing you perform, Mike, was at Standalone Wrestling sometime last year. It was in a high school gymnasium, and my father-in-law and my family and I were there. We were stoked to see who was coming out. And we kind of scoured the area, and we saw some of these bleachers stacked up in the corner. And we're like, oh, I wonder if anyone's going to climb up these bleachers and jump off them. Sure enough, yeah, you see where this is going. Sure enough, you know, you made a great impression with your entrance, your in-ring work, you know, lots of agility for a heavyweight like yourself. Sure enough, I believe it was versus Dan O'Hare, if I'm not mistaken, you know, a hardcore match. Sure enough, you jump off the top of the bleachers with an elbow through a table, I believe, onto Dan O'Hare. And sure enough, after the match, like a boss, you and Allie are just sitting watching the rest of the show from the top of the bleachers, which was just like the icing on the cake. That was just like a boss. That was so cool just to watch. Have you always been like a risk taker, or now after, you know, coming back from injury, are we trying to avoid things like that? What's your mindset, I guess?
That's an awesome question. If you would have asked me like 2 months ago, you know, that question, it totally would be a different answer. Yeah. I used to be a risk taker before the injury all the time. Like, I could hit, you know, in practice, to say the least, I don't know how safely I could hit them, you know, but I could hit 450s and do all that stuff. And do them in practice, and I'll put the videos online from practice so everybody knows I could kind of do it. But I didn't always take the chance of, you know, doing those things in the ring. But there were some things I would pull off. But toward that point, I started getting real confident with my agilities and everything like that. So as soon as I got to the gym, I looked right at the bleachers, and I went right up to the promoter. Yeah. His name is Chad. And I was like, hey, man,
I know Chad.
I'm going to secure that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to secure that right there so no one else can do it tonight. I'm going to be the person that jumps off the bleachers. He was like, that's crazy. What are you going to do? And at first I said, I'm going to backflip off the bleachers onto him.
What?
That's originally what I called. And that's why it wasn't a table. It was two chairs, actually.
That's what it was.
Two chairs, or
yes.
Two or three chairs lined up, yes. Yeah.
So I have the video. Yes, sir.
I climbed up on the chairs, and I climbed up to the top of the bleachers. And if you watch the video, you can kind of see, I look down, and I look at Dan, and he's just like nowhere near where I need him for a moonsault. And I was just like, oh my god, like, what am I gonna do? So I kind of panicked for a minute, and I just look up and then look down and was like, I guess we're doing an elbow drop. But he had no idea, so I thought he was gonna stand up and just get elbow dropped on his head right back down. And he laid there, thank god. So it was pretty cool, and he stayed safely with that. But I've always been a risk taker with that. Then when I got hurt for about 2 months ago, up until about 2 months ago I should say, I was like, absolutely not. I'm a big man. I'm just going to be a power guy. I don't need to do that anymore. I'm not going to do it because of my knee, et cetera, et cetera. And here I am 2 months later, and I'm doing that all plus more again. And I'm flipping over the ropes and suiciding and doing all things and moonsaulting again. So I really, I'm right back to where I said I wasn't ever going to be.
Yeah.
So, it's always been a risk-taking thing for me. And I get a kick out of it because I like to be the big guy that, you know, does all the big stuff. I remember when I was little and I used to see, you know, Psycho Sid do something athletic. I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. Or Vader do something athletic. It was amazing for a big guy to do that. But yeah, and as far as watching the show, I always watch the show. I always try to see everything from a distance and hide, you know, at a plain sight. But I always watch what my coworkers are doing, to say the least.
But that's crazy to say that you were gonna, and you know, we know Chad's a friend of the show for sure, but that's crazy to see that you would do the moonsault off the bleachers. But we popped so hard for
that.
Original
idea.
Yeah.
I got so nervous, man. I literally got up there and was like, he's like 5 feet to the right now. What am I gonna do? Like, there's no way I'm gonna backflip and hope to go 5 feet to the right.
Yeah. No, man, it was great. We popped. And as a fan, you know, watching you, you know, one of the things that stands out about you is you are a heavyweight pulling off these moves. Like at Evolve a few weeks ago, you had the smaller guys, you know, going through the ropes, doing the suicide dives. Then you go over the top rope and land on your feet, which was even more impressive. And the crowd popped. So we love it. You know, I'm a fan. It's great.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the, you know, obviously not the fun times, but let's talk about what exactly was the injury and how was the road to recovery, man? I knew it was not fun for you.
No, it wasn't at all. Yeah, the injury was a broken patella, tibia.
Wow. Yeah.
And I tore my patella, tore my MCL, I tore my LCL, and I tore my retinaculum all at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, and I had to get a rod put in my leg and get some screws put in there and basically reattach the patella to my new makeshift bone. And yeah, so it was a really, really big surgery. So originally they were going to do it the night of, because my leg basically became unattached the night of, as disgusting as that sounds. So they were going to do it the night of, but my father didn't, thank God I still have him in my life, didn't trust the hospital that I was at and wanted me to be transported to New York. So originally the recovery time was supposed to be a year and a half.
Wow.
And yeah, originally, and then we got it down to 6 months from surgery.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I went to New York, and the rehab was horrible and excruciating and extensive, and it was all the time. And we basically had me in there 5 days a week, so from the day after surgery ended. And I kind of, as effed up as it sounds, I mean, I always, I'm grateful for the injury at the same time, because it happened at a time where I really can't get too specific, but I was about to make a little, like, to be in a hotel to meet with that company the next day.
Right.
And it was a big career deal. Up in my hotel room, sleeping and resting up for the day, you know, to come after. But instead, I had to go out there and just wrestle and do something to stay busy. And I broke everything and tore everything on a tie-up, as creative as that sounds.
Wow.
And happened on a tie-up with Joey Janela in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and
no Joey.
basically, it taught me everything from an outside point of view, because now I had to sit back and watch everybody else get opportunities around me that I knew I was supposed to be getting or knew I was supposed to be having already. And I showed up to WWE to be doing some stuff with them the following afterwards too.
Wow.
And I still showed up on crutches to all the stuff I was supposed to do with them, and they kind of looked at me like I was crazy a little bit, I think. But I made a commitment. I said I'd be there, so I was there. So 3 days after my surgery, I was in New Hampshire for Raw, and I think Massachusetts for SmackDown the next day.
Hey, man,
and
that's great, though. I give you credit for showing up, man.
I mean, some people say it was stupid. Some people say it was, you know, whatever. But I looked at it as I made a commitment, and I let them know that I was hurt. I just said maybe they didn't have enough time to see it in time because it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
But no one ever told me not to come, so I figured, you know, I made a commitment to go. They never said I was wrestling, never said what the role was, so I was going to be there no matter what. So that worked out pretty well for me, because I was able to recently do some stuff with them again. It seems like everything's on the right track. And
that's awesome.
Big, but I was able to do some extra work with them and get to experience some of the new, I guess, locker room stuff that they have going on down there, and see how much talent are getting signed. So it's really awesome to see everybody around me doing really well. But process, I have a total bit different mindset and evolve. When I was younger, I had a chance at Evolve already. I was on Evolve 50. And I shit the bed entirely on that. And I didn't really do anything to stand out or do anything special or look any better than anybody else. So I blended in, and that's why I was never called back. And by this time, I made sure, coming back from an injury like this, I wasn't going to make sure I stood out no matter what I did. So it's kind of like the mindset I have now, where I'm just going to make sure everything works correctly and there's no more time wasted, you know?
Yeah, man. And you know, a couple things on that. First of all, was the rod they put in your leg green, because then you really would be the Green Machine? I'm sorry.
I have honestly no idea. That's actually a great question. Yeah. Probably not, but
he is.
He'll turn green eventually.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, no. But But in all seriousness, you know, I'm not surprised that the WWE took interest in you. You know, a lot of the, you know, I've been telling a lot of the guys, you know, a lot of the wrestling crew that we work with and talk with here, you know, you got that charisma about you. You got the great look. And now, honestly, you know, it stinks that you had the injury, but like I keep saying, you look like you're back and better than ever. You know, you're going all out. And I think it's really cool that you did show up to those, you know, like you said, you're going to be there. In my mind, that's classy and cordial. And I think that's exactly. That's the way to go about it, man. I think the future's bright. I think the future's bright, man. I think sometimes there's bumps in the road, you know?
100%. I mean, there's ways to go about everything. Basically, I hated football more than anything I've ever done in my life, but I love the atmosphere, and that's why I loved playing college football. So I loved all my teammates and things like that. So when I got hurt with football, I did the same thing almost in my other leg in my second year of college football, and it made me actually play 5 years of football and because of that. But I came back to a sport I absolutely despised because I loved my teammates, and I came back better than ever, and I looked at that like the first learning material I got anything from as far as an injury goes. So when this happened, it was like, I actually love what I do now, and I love this. And it's like, so now I'm actually going to work for a whole different mindset. It's going to be for myself, not like because I love my teammates or anything like that. So it was a good learning experience, man. I learned how to be a man, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. We can tell, man. You know, this is a great segue. Talking about, you know, learning from the past and things coming up in the future. Just a few more questions for you.
Do you have any dream opponents, you know, whether it's, you know, from the past or, you know, dream opponents going forward now that you're back from injury and, you know, you're in the ring full time again?
I have so many dream opponents. But, like, main ones, I would love to tangle it up. Cody Rhodes.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's one of the greatest out there right now. He's a great storyteller, and I feel like the emotion that he got with Nick Aldis, you know what I mean? You kind of look at matches like that, and you see that there's still like that classic old school mentality with a new school edge, and I kind of like where he's going with that. Obviously, Chris Jericho being one of my favorites would be
perfect.
Somebody as well. But back in the past, if we go blast in the past a little bit, let's go probably with Bret Hart. I feel like that could be a total different style match where I feel like I could really, I guess, steal things from, if that makes sense. And Rob Van Dam, can't forget that.
Yeah,
On a constant. I idolize him as well, and I take a lot of his concepts and things like that. So I literally call him out on a constant basis trying to wrestle the man. So by chance he happens to hear it, here's another time I'm calling him out, hopefully. PPW should listen to this and do it.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Sign us up. We're all for it.
There you go.
Now to go from inside the ring to outside of the ring, what's on the playlist? What are your hobbies outside of the ring when you're not wrestling?
Well, me and my girlfriend are gym fanatics. But we're also like we're total nerds, so we got a lot of
same here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's like an entire she's got like an entire collection in the house that literally, I mean, everything from Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, and all the stuff that we don't need but we have. Entire house full.
It's like my apartment. Like that. Yeah.
Well, that's probably one of the things we do most is collect all this crazy nonsense. So when we're on the road, you know, we'll go to comic book stores and all this other stuff while everybody else is going to eat. So that's a hobby there. I'm a video gamer.
Yes,
so are we. Read my comics, play my video games.
Nice.
That's it. I'm a simple guy. I kind of just love wrestling and go to the gym and then just being a nerd off the green machine and being come Mike again and then go back to being Green Machine as soon as the bell rings, you know?
Sounds like the life.
Yeah, man, you're living the dream, man, as I sit in my apartment filled with video games and Funko Pop vinyls everywhere.
That's what she's got. She's got every one of them, man. Every Jurassic Park one, every Scooby-Doo one, every Supernatural.
That's
ridiculous, dude.
That's awesome, man. And I think I saw you had that custom Green Machine one. I got to get one of those down the line.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I had a client make me that. Pretty awesome.
That's
personal training client. They're really, really cool.
That's legit. And lastly, you know, obviously, you know, we were saying there were some bumps along the way. You're back and better than ever. What does the future hold for the Green Machine, whether it be NXT, whether it be Impact, whether it be AEW? You know, I think it's the golden age of wrestling almost in a way. You know, back, what does the future hold for the Green Machine?
This is a great be time to be a pro wrestler.
Yes.
And be involved with pro wrestling. And the only kind of way to answer that right now with me is
right.
Thank God I came back healthy. So
yeah.
There's opportunity. I'm trying to answer this as best as possible.
I read you. Yeah.
A lot of different things planned.
Good. Hey,
a lot of different things planned, but nothing is exclusive.
I get that, and that's actually a great answer. You know,
in a lot of different places soon.
I love it.
I think let's keep it that. Let's just keep your eyes on all of them.
There you go.
Great answer.
Yeah. So, you know.
It sounds like there's not a lot of question marks going on. It sounds like there's a little bit of things in motion here, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you're wowing the crowds on the indie scene. We'll see what's next, man. Okay. Oh, and real quick, we got to do, before I forget, the shameless plugs. We're all about the shameless plugs here. Where can fans follow you on social media, and what's going on? Anything going on WrestleMania week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be doing Fight the World Wrestling. I will be at some other WWN related stuff. I'm not pulling which shows, but nice. I know I'm really working in some capacity with them. I will be there for the Hall of Fame. I'll be at the Hall of Fame. You can say hi to me there.
We will be there. Yeah, we'll be there, Mike. I hope to shake your hand.
We'll say hi to each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be heading over there with Shannon Moore. He's headed over there, so he'll be staying with me that weekend.
Nice. Awesome.
And then we got Crowbar Show, Rescue Mania, the day of WrestleMania. That's in East Rutherford. Please don't quote me on that. I think it is.
I know the show, yep.
And you can follow me at The Big Orlando. And you can go buy my stuff at prowrestlingtees.com/eliteathlete. And please follow me and like my stuff on Twitter, because I don't know how to use Twitter all the way, and I'm trying to get good at it, as you see. But yeah. I'm not that good at it, but Instagram I'm pretty good at. So
nice.
Follow me on there.
Hey, Mike, thanks for a few minutes, man. We know you're busy, man. You're killing it right now. Best of luck to you, man. Thanks so much for a few minutes.
Yeah, good luck, Mike.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Hey, guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/BobCulturePodcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Cruz, and, of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.